You should grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. In our march through the Bible in 1 Peter, now chapter 3, and the title of this morning's message is God, Marriage, and Grace. And whenever there's marriage, you're going to need to talk about grace. God, Marriage, and Grace. This is really part one, and you need to remember this morning by way, just be encouraged that this is part one of a two-part message. And I say that because we are going to be laying a very long introduction into this study to lay the groundwork because it's such a sensitive issue. It shouldn't be, but it is. We'll explain it as we go through. But what we'll do later is in part two of this message, we'll complete this, and we, again, 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we're at, verses 1 through 7. And as we get into this, I want you to know the ushers have locked the doors, ladies. We will not let you out until you hear the truth of what God's Word has to say, not what our opinions might be, not what hubby might be thinking, or boyfriend, or whoever. We're going to look at what God says and why God says it, and then those of us who are Christians, we're going to give every bit of effort to obey what the Lord has laid upon us, because we love Him. Chapter 3, verse 1, Peter tells us, "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your beauty be that of outward adorning of arranging of the hair, or wearing of gold, or of putting on a fine apparel, but let it be of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Likewise, you husbands, likewise dwell with them, that is your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Peter's teaching us this morning about submission. He's been doing it for the last several weeks. If you want to look in the way of review, I think it's very important to what we're going to be looking at this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, Peter tells us there that we are to be submissive to the governing authorities that God has put in to our cities or to our counties or to our nation. We are to be obedient to them because God has established them. We've studied it in depth. We may not agree with them. That's not the point. The point is that we are to obey them because God has established them. The second thing we saw last time is that the employer and the employee relationship, starting in verse 18 down to verse 25, of course in the Bible it talks about servants and masters. In our modern day setting, it would be employers and employees. And we studied that closely. And let me tell you something real quickly. You know what happened last week after the messages? People got the tape. And they use the tape. I think this is a great idea. They use the tape to go back to their work, and they said, "Boss, I want you to listen to this tape." "I don't do the Christian thing, pal." "Yeah, I know that, but it's on employees and employers. And just try to grin and deal with the Christian part. You can just kind of water that part out of your hearing of the tape. Just listen to the business side of things." Well, of course, what happened was these guys started listening to the tape. And the first thing is that the Christian employee became accountable because now their boss knew what now they know. And it held them accountable to being a good Christian employee. But it also opened up the opportunity to share the gospel with their boss. So again, take advantage of that. The tapes are free. Grab them and give them to your boss. And see what happens with that. That's a great idea. But Peter's been talking to us about submission in that area of our lives. It's a very important thing, submission is. It actually leads to freedom. Believe it or not, that's why God asks us to be committed to this thing of submission. We're going to study it in depth this morning. But as we mentioned last time together, this is about the most unpopular or, rejected, not politically correct kind of word, submission. We live in a culture where it's forget submission, it's promote yourself and be number one, and you rule and reign, even though you may be the private in the army, you're going to tell the general what to do. Well, you're not going to get very far doing that, but that's the kind of culture we live in. And submission is something that people don't want to talk about, especially when it comes to the area of marriage. And people are saying in this day and age, well, it's the 90s. It's the 90s. Have you noticed if you watch any TV at all, which I don't advise you to do, you can get hurt doing that. You should wear a helmet. But people are saying, well, it's the 90s. Like it's an excuse for everything. Have you noticed that? It's the 90s. You know what? I don't think when we stand before God in heaven, there's going to be a section. There's going to be an announcement. Gabriel's going to say, all of those coming out of the 90s, report to Sector 2, the dysfunctional ward. You have an excuse. You came out of the 90s. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Not at all. We live in a time where it's very rebellious, very, very antagonistic towards authority and towards any kind of rank at all that is established. Last time in our study, in verse 13, chapter 2, it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, the governing powers. Verse 18 of chapter 2, verses 13, now 18. Verse 18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all reverence, not only to the good and gentle ones, but also to the mean ones. And right here in chapter 3, we begin by looking at verse 1 this morning, again of a part 2 message. And this is what he says, Peter speaking, likewise, you wives. Well, circle the word likewise. It's a great word in the Greek. It means likewise, pointing right back to verse 13 and 18. Just as submission is to be expected from the Christian toward the governmental authorities, so is it to be with the employee toward the employer, and so is it to be regarding the wife toward the husband. But we're going to explain this carefully. By the way, Peter spends, ladies, listen carefully, Peter spends 6 times as much teaching toward the women on this topic than toward the men. And it all depends on how you look at that. You might say, well, the Bible's sexist. It's not, but as I read the Bible, if you're ever going to accuse the Bible of being sexist, you've got to do it in this way. It brings the woman up to a level of equality with the man. We'll get into this a little bit later this morning, too. It's a great thing. And we'll prove it to you from history. 6 times more does Peter speak to the wife than the husband. Why? This is the answer. You ready? Ladies, write it down. Now keep your elbows to yourself. The reason why he says it 6 times more than he does to the husband is because it's much more difficult to live with a husband than it is for a husband to live with a wife. It's a fact. He encourages them 6 times more than the man because it's hard to live with a man. Right, ladies? Oh, well, maybe I have the wrong group here. It's difficult. Now, the scriptures go through here this morning teaching us that if a wife is living her life unto God, it's going to affect the way that her husband views God and knows God. What we cannot, I want to state this right up front, what we cannot say categorically here and dogmatically is that this verse and passage must be referring to wives who are Christians married to non-Christian husbands. It can apply to that. And in most instances in people's lives, it does apply that way. However, it's interesting that it also can apply to the wife who's married to a backslidden husband. That her conduct can lead the backslidden husband of hers, a man who's walked away from Jesus but knows Jesus, her conduct can actually lead him back to a walk with God. And by the way, it's a promise given here in the Bible. But before we get into this, and I've warned you, we have a long introduction, so be patient. And we will not complete all the 7 verses this morning, so you can breathe easy. But why does Peter spend 6 times more? A couple of reasons. Number one, listen to this carefully. For the same reason why women attend Bible studies and services more than men. Did you know that? Did you know more women attend Bible studies and services than men? Well, the men are out working and going to war, and I don't think so. I think the men may be out working, but I think sports, ESPN, and things like that have a lot to do with church services in this day and age. That is a sports channel, isn't it? ESPN? Did I say that right? Okay. You can tell how far I have cable, huh? It's difficult. But women attend church more often. Another thing is that women go to prayer meetings and fellowship gatherings more than men do. And another interesting observation is that there are more Christian women than there are Christian men. That is a statistic that has been true since the birth of the church. I think for one reason, personally, if you get right down to the point, it is pride. Men are arrogant. Men are prideful. Men are instructed to be prideful. We grow up being told that we need to be proud. We grow up being told, did that guy punch you? Yes, he did. Then go back there and punch him. Look, son, stand up. Go in there and you tell. And that's the kind of way we're brought up. And there's some good things to that, but there are also some bad things to that. But it's also difficult for a man to sometimes relate to God, because God is our Father. There's no problem there. But then it says Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Guys kind of go, I don't know about that. It's a little difficult for me to relate to this. Until you see what the Bible clearly teaches, that in Christ there is no male or female. That means we're one, equal before God. There's not going to be a section in heaven of men and women over here. There will be, listen carefully, male and female, but the Bible says they will not be, we will not be like the angels given in marriage in heaven. We will be married to God, but there will be male and female in heaven. But we won't be married. Why? We'll be married to Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ, the church, as it says in Scripture. But it's so very difficult for a Christian woman to be with a man who is either wayward from God or doesn't know God at all. It's a difficult thing. And you might be sitting here this morning, husband, and you might be saying, I'm not a Christian and I treat my wife great. You may do that, and that's wonderful. But let me tell you, when she lays her head down at night and when she wakes up in the morning, you are prayed for by that wife, by that woman, more than any other person on the face of the earth. She sees you and she loves you and she cares for you, but maybe she doesn't even articulate it anymore. To your ears, she's praying because she knows that if you die without knowing Jesus, hell awaits those who reject Him. And she doesn't want you to go there because she loves you. That's why you bite into your sandwich and there's a track right between the bologna and the lettuce. She wants you to go to heaven. She'll get together with her friends and she's not gossiping about you. She's saying, will you pray for my husband? That God would open his eyes and save him? You may be a great, wonderful man, but the fact of the matter is she's looking beyond your marriage. She's looking beyond the grave into eternity for your soul. Peter speaks to these people and the culture and the time, which was very difficult to them, that they would understand what the role should be. Listen to this. Culturally, amazing. Ladies, listen up. The Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Greek culture appraised women at the level equal to, listen, I got this out of a Jewish writing, equal to sheep, dogs, and or cattle. A woman could be divorced in the ancient world for any reason. Any reason. If she didn't please her husband, he could simply say, listen to this, he'd take off his shoe. He'd say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And put his shoe back on, and you are now homeless. You get nothing. The only obligation that the husband of the ancient world had to do was to pay back to your father the dowry that was given to him. Rebate. Isn't that something? They were treated like dogs. A lot of pagan cultures had a wife to raise children. The husband then had a little playmate maybe a couple of them. No, really, there were, on the average, they had like five women underneath their little harem, one or two to produce kids, another or two to be their little playmate, and the other one to do some of the business dealings. They were nothing. They were just slaves. In fact, many of the wives in that culture were actually bought by their husbands. So, women had no say. They had no input. They had no value. They were only created, they believed, in the ancient world to meet the needs of the man, specifically the husband. So, listen, you've come a long way, baby. Yes, you have. And because Christianity has set you free. Even if you're not a Christian this morning, the fact of the matter is, do you understand this? I hope you doubt this, and you go study it for yourself. Go look at world history and human history. Every culture that embraces Christianity, women wind up getting to have the opportunity to vote, to be a viable component in the society. Women wind up having rights. Everywhere the Christian culture has gone, that is a fact. Example, to show you how Christianity influences the world, go find hospitals in the world and orphanages and find out who started them and find out who supports them. Still to this day, globally, Christian organizations start hospitals around the world. It's been that way. Christianity does more to help people and build them up and strengthen them than any other faith in the world. It is a fact. And while we're on that topic, I challenge you to go search all of the world religions, and the cults included. Look at them and find out how they view women. Even our modern day cults, I won't mention two of them that are most prevalent, but they literally, when you get into the doctrines and you want to become one who understands what they teach, women are held at substandard to the man. Nowhere in the Bible is that true, that a woman is somehow subservient to a man. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible teach that the man is greater than a woman, better than a woman, more intelligent or more wise than a woman. No, sir, it's not in the Bible. Look and see what Christianity has done for the women of the world, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. But Peter turns his focus into this area of marriage. You know, Peter was qualified to talk about this. Did you know that Peter was married? Peter was married. He had a wife. In fact, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law in the Gospels. I don't know if Peter had any children or not. It doesn't say. But he definitely had a wife, and he had a mother-in-law whom Jesus even healed of a very high fever, as it's recorded in the Bible. But let's be honest here right now, people. We have the ability to get up from this sanctuary and go drive down to any direction. Christian bookstores are everywhere, and you don't even have to go to Christian bookstores. You can go to Sam's Club and get books on marriage. We've got more books on marriage than any other time in human history. And you notice that? We've got more books on sex than any other time in human history. And people don't know anything about sex, and they don't know anything about marriage. And we have more marriage counseling going on than any other time. And the church has absolutely broken its own record, and that now the church in divorce rate is rivaling that of the world. That is sad. Billy Graham said something that I've never forgotten. I heard this at a crusade. He said, if a non-Christian is watching a Christian marriage and that Christian marriage ends up in divorce, Billy Graham says, then I cannot fault that non-Christian watching that home break up, that person never coming to Christ. I can't fault them. Because when two Christians cannot get along, especially regarding the institution of marriage, which is the most difficult, Billy Graham says you can't blame people for walking out on Christianity. That's a strong statement. But the number one best-selling books, by the way, in the Christian community is on marriage. Not how to operate a power saw. Marriage. Isn't that interesting? And if you haven't caught on yet, family issues. Have you heard about this in the recent news and all? Family values, family issues. Listen, family issues is not the issue. Think about it. Family issues is not the issue. The issue is the family. We don't need to talk about the external things of the family. The issues of the family externally, we need to get to the meaning and to the God-ordained focus on marriage itself and the family. The family. It's our God who's established the family. You realize that? You read your Bible. Your Bible. It's our God who created marriage. It's not the ancient sun god Ra. He didn't create marriage. Go search your history. It's not Hammurabi. He didn't create marriage. God did in the Bible. Marriage is a big deal to God. He warns the man or the woman who breaks it up. But the family's the issue. And a broken family leads to a broken home, and a broken home leads to a broken heart. And when hearts are broken within the family, people, our nation's broke. Our nation is sick and it's broken. And kids have no direction. This weekend, we had a wonderful time on Friday night in an afterglow where we just waited upon the Lord with all these kids. And the Lord impressed it upon my heart to just share out loud. I said, you know, someone's here. I believe somebody's here that is hurting, and you're bearing the brunt and the guilt of your mom and dad right now. And this precious little girl, it was too dark, I couldn't see her, but I could tell it was a girl. She just exploded with tears. She had been bearing the load and carrying the load of her mom and dad and their divorce. How many children are suffering from that today? These kids will grow up and be citizens someday, and their hearts are so, so fractured and broken. And it's a sad thing. Marriage counseling, this is a sad statistic. First of all, it's the number one marriage counseling issue. It's the number one issue in counseling is marriage. It's not, gee, can I know God's will for my life? Can you help me? It's, can you teach me how to study the Bible? Can you maybe help me with my prayer life? Man, that would be a wonderful day if people came in and said, I'd really like to know how to pray better. No, it's marriage. And by the way, 90 to 99% of the appointments made for marital counseling is made by who? The woman. The wife makes the counseling appointment. The man rarely, if ever, shows up to the counseling appointments because the home is broken. According to James Dobson, focused on the family ministries, by the year 2007, that's 10 years from today, by the year 2007, over 50% of the American homes, over 50% of the American homes, the child will have two sets of parents. Well, congratulations, America. We will be breaking a world's record at that point in time. We'll be number one on the charts for broken homes. If you're taking notes this morning, I think you ought to do that. The next several weeks, you should do this. At the top of your notepad, you need to write this down. We've covered this verse before. You're going to hear it again. In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 8, it says, God resists the proud. Remember the sumo wrestlers. God resists the proud. He sticks out his chest against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen carefully. Verse 7, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's who's against your home. That's who's against your marriage. You can look at your husband or you can look at your wife and you'll feel this rage on the inside. Why is that happening? Satan is behind the destruction of the home. He's like a lion. He's been crouched and crawling around your house for a long time. And he's been waiting. And he's got time. He'll wait a whole lifetime to destroy a marriage. Because when a marriage goes down in Christianity, so goes the name of God. He's like a lion. But 1 Peter 5 says to humble yourself. That means chill out, calm down, stop sticking out your chest. Stop resisting. If you're not doing that, guys and gals, it's because we're prideful. And then he says, cast all your cares in verse 7. It means calm down. Chill out and calm down. Stop carrying the burden and give it to God. You were not created to bear such a load. Give it to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. And then he goes on to tell us that Satan is near and that he's like a lion. That means we better wake up to the fact that he's against our home. You have a good marriage? You better protect it because Satan's out to destroy it. Is your marriage okay? You better protect it. Satan's out to kill it. Does your marriage stink? Satan's out to kill it, maybe he's got his feet already in it. Look behind what's visible into the invisible. God's intentions for marriage. This is still the introduction. God's intentions for marriage. There's roughly five of them. These are very basic and fundamental. Number one is that man should not be alone. And by the way, of course it was given to Adam. But it's mankind. So that women and men would not be alone. It's important. You read Genesis chapter 2. God says it's not good that man's alone. Isn't that funny? It's almost like God rubs it in. He goes, he doesn't say anything to anybody. He just says it to himself. It's recorded by Moses. It's not good that man should be alone. And then the next verse goes on to say, and then God had all the animals pass in front of Adam, and he gave names to them. He had a little clipboard out there. Adam, here comes the animals. I want you to name them. I'm sure God got a big kick out of that. Adam must have watched the animals before he named them. Because the first one coming down, I'm making this part up. I'm making this part up right now. The first animal down the thing, the path, was like a hippopotamus. Maybe not like, it was a hippopotamus for our story. And Adam looked at him and he said, wow, what a big thing that is. It's like a water horse. And that's what hippopotamus means, a water horse. A horse of the water. Writes that down. Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus walk by there. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe. Giraffe. This neck, this thing. Oh, writes that down. Platypus goes waddling by. What in the world is this? Adam looks at the platypus and says, this is going to drive evolutionists nuts in the future. I love it. Mr. and Mrs. Platypus goes by. He names all the animals, and then it says at the end of the day, there is not a helpmate found suitable for Adam. And he turned, put his clipboard on the desk, and walked away, probably very, very alone, put his little coffee pot in there, made his little dinner, and sat by himself and read the Eden Times. He was all alone. He was alone. And you know what? I bet he was glad in a way, because though he saw the pairs and the couples of all things, male and female, after their own kind, yet he was the last guy to have someone after his own kind. It's almost as though God was saying, hey, man, listen up. You need somebody. Man, male, you, guys, men, you need somebody. And Adam had to be glad. I'm sure he didn't want to be married to the hippopotamus or to the giraffe or to the platypus. He didn't want anything to do with those things. And God, it says, put a deep sleep upon Adam. And God, after he put a sleep upon Adam, took out of him a bone out of his head. No. Took out of Adam a bone out of his foot. No, that's not where she came from. A lot of men think so. I'll keep her right here. No. Out of his side. Protecting the heart, the lungs, the vitals, out of the side where life is at. Out of the side where there's hugs. Out of the side that when you're going into battle, you want that area protected. But when you want to love, you want that area exposed. Out of his side. And isn't it interesting that in the marrow of the rib to this day we have found that there's enough information stored within the rib to create a human being? Do we need to talk about that anymore? Out of the side. And God gets her there, standing there, gets her all dusted off and undressed just right. And he wakes Adam up. She's standing there, and Adam wakes up, probably does a little sit-up and looks, and says, whoa, man! Hey, that's what I'll call her, woman. And I'm sure he was glad. And she was glad. They were there. But who came first? Man was created first. Yeah, Jack, we came first. That's not what God intended for us to have that kind of an attitude. Man, we're supposed to say, man, she came out of me. Come here, baby. You come on in here right from where you came. You come right into my side. Anybody be messing with you, you let me know. And by the way, while you're out and about, don't talk to any snakes. He was to protect her. She was not somehow subservient, a lower than. You know, sometimes when you look at the culture, you can find out a lot about yourself and even some biblical truth when you look at our culture, listen carefully, and reverse what you're hearing. Look at the culture, reverse it, and you're probably understanding truth. Example, our culture today, in responding to this male macho mania, now what is in the papers and on the sitcoms? Husbands are idiots. Men are worthless. Men can't, you watch the commercials. We can't buy Campbell's soup. We don't know how. We don't know how to mow the lawn anymore. According to the current media and advertisements and all, we don't know how to feed the dog. And this one really gets me. We don't know how to buy cars anymore. Now, have you noticed all the car ads? The woman's got to tell the man, look, this has got a V8 489 semi-rocket fueled engine thing. And he's going, oh, yeah, okay, okay. It's causing the male to look like a fool, like an idiot. Why is that happening? Because there's an uproar, there's a surge of propaganda, you see, that people are being sold to degrade God's standard of the man being on the scene first, only in creation, only in the area of position, but not power and not preference. Do you understand? It's very important. It will change your home if you view it the way God has stated it. Jesus reinforces this truth about the family and the home and the husband and the wife. In Matthew 19, verse 13, the Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason? And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Does your Bible say male and female? My Bible says male and female. That's Adam and Eve. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and a mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate it. You may be thinking, well, I'm just going to have this little affair thing, because things are pretty dead. Watch out, pal. Watch out, lady. What God has joined together, let nobody separate it. Serious thing. Very, very important. Chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, that even some who do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Very important. The word submissive or submit here, it's a military term to fall into rank. To fall into a rank, to report to a predetermined position. It's a military term. Why? Because we're in a Christian battle, for one thing. But even though it says to fall into rank, remember this, jot it down, gals, everyone. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? By the way, a little bit more of a backup on that concerning male and female, men and women equality in the area of marriage and in life. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. He said that to them, not to him. He said it to the male and the female. Jesus gives us a beautiful example. And that in the truth of the Lord comes through in this area. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Look back. It says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor there was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously." Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. Jesus was obedient, says the Scriptures, Philippians 2:8, to the Father, even to the point of death. That's our example. Guys, I'm only talking to the guys right now. Gentlemen in here right now. That's Jesus' example. He suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in, who, obeying the Father, went to the point of death. Question, who did Jesus die for? The world, yes. But to redeem out of the world, says the Bible, his bride. Interesting. The Bible says in Ephesians, we'll touch on it in the next several weeks. Ephesians tells us that we as husbands are to love our wives to the point of death, just like Jesus. If we're Christians this morning, yes, you're going to go through marital struggles. Yes, you're going to have rough times, but it's God's will that you pull through them and that you make it. And that's very, very important that we understand that. God is for us. He says, "You wives, be submissive to your own husbands." Look at this, it says own husbands, not to men. There are some people who teach that all women are to be submissive to all men. That's not true. Women who are wives are to be submissive to their husband, not your neighbor's husband or anyone else. That even, look what it says, if some do not obey the word, actually. In the Greek, it's the definite article, the word, the Bible. If they don't obey the Bible, either they're Christians or they're not Christians. It doesn't matter. If they're not obeying the Bible, you can either win them back to a walk with God or to become a Christian. Don't show me your hands, but ladies, I know there's a lot of you who are married to men who are not Christians. And I don't know if you're going to buy what this has to say here, but this is God's prescribed answer. He says that they may be one to the Lord without a word. And what can be implied and argued is also not only they can be one to the Lord by you not using a word, but get a load of this. It can also be understood by the definite article again, the word, meaning this. Ladies, you will not lead your husband to Jesus Christ by preaching at him. Have you noticed? You'll turn him off. I had a man in my office this week, a sweet, precious Christian man, and I asked him, I said, "You'd like to know a little bit more about you. How did you accept the Lord?" He goes, "I watched my wife. I watched my wife." That's powerful. Ladies, I know that you want your husband to come to know the Lord Jesus, but it's not by preaching at him. You have a very different role. You can lead your husband, and you will lead your husband to the Lord, not by preaching, but by living it. That's why he says, without a word. In other words, be quiet. Does he know that Jesus died for him on the cross? Has he heard it? Don't repeat it. Leave it alone. Pray for him and then live the Christian life. Nowhere, though, does that mean that you become some kind of a doormat, ladies. That is not scriptural either. You're not to be a doormat. You're not to be submitting to him so that he can absolutely abuse you and use you and hurt you. That is not biblical submission. There are non-Christian husbands that will say to you, they say, "Look, doesn't your church say submit? You submit to me. Now do this thing." 3 years ago, there was a couple that attended this church for just a couple of weeks, and then I didn't see them for the longest time, and then she shows up. And what had happened was, this guy who was a non-believer, and she turned out to be a non-believer, this thing about submission came up. And he wound up prostituting his wife. And she thought that she was, she says that she thought that she was being obedient to him. She disobeyed God. That's not submission. It's insanity. It's not what we're talking about. Women, you have a lot of power. You're married. You have a husband. You have a lot of power that Billy Graham cannot get to your husband. Pastor Chuck Smith cannot get to your husband. Charles Stanley cannot get to your husband. The Pope cannot get to your husband. It's you and you alone. You have a lot of power. You want to go to the mission field? It's waking up every morning alongside you. You need to be encouraged. Family members, have you noticed, are the hardest ones to lead to Jesus Christ? You want to know why? They know us. They know us. That's why all the more they need to see the Lord shining through us. I mean, shining through you, ladies. In the context of our study, we're out of time with this portion. I want to show you one area that I got so excited about this weekend in studying for this that blew my mind. And I right now, at least, I haven't found this in a book, so it could be from God. And I'm really excited that I might have had an original thought for once in my life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And you're wondering, when were we going to get to that passage? Ephesians 5. Verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Now listen, I accidentally got on my computer and grabbed these verses and threw them onto a piece of paper. And I unintentionally began to read them, and I read it backwards. I don't know why it happened. I read it backwards. And watch what happened. Ephesians 5, look at verse 25. Husbands, listen to the order. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ladies, can you live with that? You have a problem with that? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my husband would love me like Jesus loves the church. Well, that's verse 25. Look at verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Hey, how many of you women would say and have already said, man, if my husband would just follow the Lord and be, you know, be like Jesus, I'd totally live for him. I mean, it'd be wonderful. By the way, guys, wake up. That's what ladies want. That's what they want. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. So also Christ is head of the church. Or as also Christ is head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. Hey, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that the husband now plays the role of the Savior of the wife. I don't mean spiritually, I mean in protection, in leading, in guiding. Hey, I like this. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. No problem there. Hey, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yeah, he's submitting to God. I'm submitting to the Lord and to my husband. He's listening to God. We've got a happy family. You will have a happy family if your husband is following God. It's God's way of trickle-down theology. The way it works. God says, I didn't write the book. I can't, I just have to give it to you. I can't justify. God says, I'm going to talk to the man first to see if that guy will listen to me. And if he'll listen, he'll be such a benefit that his wife will love to listen to him lead and guide and be over that family. She'll love it. And she'll go around town saying, I got a great husband. Can you imagine such a thing could happen? He's wonderful. If you read verse 21 now and go down to verse 25, you win either way. From 25 to 21, it's more palatable if you read it for the woman. from verses 21 to 25, I've discovered it's more palatable for the man, if you look at it that way. Regardless how you start it or how you end up, it says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's both of you bowing your knees to the Lord. When the Christian home refuses to submit to God and imitate Jesus, listen carefully, it will begin to imitate the standards and the actions of the world. It'll be Hollywood rather than heaven in your house. And the thing that causes that to happen faster than anything else is when a man in the home does not lead and guide according to God's way. When a man is leading, you can close your Bibles, we're done. When a man is leading the way God wants, that guy will be attractive even if he's ugly as a turnip. That guy will be attractive. If a woman is submissive to the Lord, her husband will see her as absolutely a doll. We'll get into this in our next study about being attractive, about having our families and our marriages healed. Because Christians, have you discovered that your home is under attack? There's a reason for it, and we need to wake up. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, and Father, I just pray right now as we really begin what is supposed to be a two-part series, we'll have to wait and see. Regardless, it is probably one of the most important things that can be spoken on for this body, for us as people. Father, I pray right now, I'm not asking anyone to agree with this prayer, Lord. I'm simply praying that you would supernaturally call these people, this church, all of us, willingly or unwillingly, may we begin to lay down our implements of war towards husbands and wives. May you open up our eyes that we might see that there are forces of spiritual darkness against us. And may you open up our hearts to your will, not our own, not his will, not her will, your will, Lord. And Father, may we walk in a way that causes others to say, I want to be married like them, or I want to have a marriage like that, because Jesus is in control. Please, Lord, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.